Women have been gathering in circles for centuries, even in the most suppressive communities, to find physical and emotional shelter, lift each other, and share the powerful feminine energy. In this podcast, we are going to rediscover what happens when women come together, bringing in their authentic, creative, nurturing selves. In other words, this podcast is dedicated to the magical places, also known as women's circles. Welcome to the Women's Circle Institute podcast. My name is Marta.
And my name is Anna.
And we are recording today slightly differently for two reasons. And number one,
give us the reason.
Yeah, number one, I am the main host today. Usually it's Anna, but we have decided to turn the things around and that I will be the one taking care of the episode. That's one reason. And second reason is probably you can hear that we sound or I sound slightly differently. I am recording from a different place where the internet is not really there yet and the place is empty. So, yeah, a little bit sketchy on the internet, not my usual microphone and headphones. So, but it should be okay enough. We have tested and it sounded okay enough. So we hope that you'll bear with us.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you are not here for the audio quality. If you are visiting us, I guess it's for something else. But if it's slightly different, now you know.
And tell us what that different is, because we don't really know.
Yes, please.
We're curious. Okay, yeah. So today's episode is about guiding principles for women's circles. We have mentioned the top ones, the ones that are the most important for us in the first episode. Or the second?
I think it was the second. The second episode, the last question about the women's circle,
Yeah, and now we are going to go for at least 8 guiding principles. We do not exclude that another one may be born.
Why not?
As we go. So we have an approach, you know, that consciousness expands, right? And it's an evolving world and things are constantly changing. So obviously our principles are also changing, especially that they are guiding principles, which means that they are not set in stone. It's not something that we are extremely rigid about. And this is exactly the 8 ones. And that's what we communicate every single time on each circle. But it is something that we communicate on the women's circle, some of them, and some of them are for us. So some of them are for the facilitators. And we will start today by asking the question or answering the question, because if we only ask it, then it will be a bit low on content.
A very short podcast.
Yes. So the first question is, why would we even want to have guiding principles? That's where we want to start. And then we want to walk you through the principles that we currently have. And and let's see where it takes us. So why do we even want to have guiding principles? Anna, you were actually the first, the person that has drafted the first version of the principles that we have. Why do you find them important? What made you do that?
Oh my goodness, I'm on spot again without even preparing. But okay. So, yes, I have drafted the principles that are on our website, womenscircleinstitute.com, shameless spam. Please visit and learn more. And I have done it because when I was starting the second chapter of Women's Circle Ranbaldale, I wanted to somehow write to women what they can expect from the women's circle. So that was the beginning. I actually wrote those principles, or half of them, in the first invitation email, in order to set up the tone and set up the energy of the meetings. I think in the first episode, we were talking about different types of women's circles. And I think we put like a lot of different combinations of circles in one, which is Cauldron, which we then made a beautiful soup of. And there were circles about, you know, networking. There were circles about, I don't know, professional circles, empowering circles for women. Our circle is a little bit different. It is more about, yeah, quote unquote, spiritual work or consciousness. So I thought many women might be even kind of scared or anxious when they learn that this is not that kind of a traditional, maybe not traditional, but this kind of more modern circle where you just exchange some information. So I thought, okay, I would like to explain what kind of a gathering this is going to be. And for me personally, the most important thing was that everyone gets the idea that this is a safe place and that this is a place where we are free to do and act however we feel at the moment. Well, of course, with certain limitations, which we will probably talk about in when we will discuss the principles. So then I was like, yeah, okay, those should be the principles. And then, of course, every single time I was in Aarhus Circle, I listened to Marta making an introduction to the circle. Aarhus Circle usually always had like half women that never been there, newcomers. So that was always very important. And yeah, I wrote down that as well, because I was not that creative. So those wrote down principles are actually me trying to remember what Marta is saying at the beginning of circles, and then my personal little touch. So basically setting up expectations and setting up basic understanding of how we are going to meet. That was the main motivation for that.
Yeah, that's exactly also how I see it. It is about setting expectations. I see it also as a form of a very, very open, however, still a social contract. Because the principles yes. also relate to respect, for example, respect for mm-hmm. yourself, respect for others, as well as this kind of message for women. So if the women can see the principles and it does not resonate with them, they will yeah. most likely not feel good in our circles. So I found it as also a really clear, quite clear communication towards mm-hmm. Less, yeah. more or less clear.
Also kind of like a casting tool. Do you have what it gets to join our circle if those are the principles? So, but I think, you know, in a funny way, it is kind of like a, I don't know how to say it, casting tool. It sounds stupid because we, of course, don't
maybe
do
matching.
Castings. Matching, maybe matching tool. You know, you read them. Okay, so this is how they are going to lead those circles, create those circles. These are the principles. I cannot, you know, conjure the devil, I'm out. So for example, you know, if there was an expectation for opening the gates of hell, that is out of the way because you read the principles, and we have something, and Marta will also talk about this because that's actually one of the new ones. Or maybe it's a rephrase of what we had, but we actually kind of invite love and light rather than, you know, Satan, Lucifer, and all the disciples of hell, which, you know, it's like your choice what you believe in, but that's not going to happen here. Especially that some people, especially men, have an idea that we run around naked and cast curses on the circles. So, you know, that also, I think, set some expectations, and maybe some women were like, not for me.
Yeah.
I need my devil soup, and this is not what's going to happen here. So, yeah.
Yeah. So We encourage you, if you're thinking about setting up a women's circle, to really, really sit down and reflect, contemplate on what sort of circle do you want to create. And don't be so hung up on how those principles sound and how many there are. Just start by writing down how you would like it to be. What sort of energy do you want to invite? What sort of women do you want to invite? So it will really, really help you. So we will share with you 8 principles that we have now, and maybe some extra, as we say. It could be that something more comes as an inspiration.
We are very good with extra. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely very good with that part. So the first principle we both together agreed, Anna and I, already in the previous episode, that this is the most important one for us. The first principle, what happens in a circle stays in a circle.
Also known as Las Vegas principle.
Yes, exactly. So this is the circle, last circle Vegas kind of principle.
Yeah.
And it really is a principle of trust. It really is foundational. And when I started the first circles, it was just always there without writing down any principles, without any specific preparation. That is absolutely foundational for me, because otherwise you cannot feel safe. You cannot feel that you can trust the others unless there is this form of, and that I would say is a form of a social contract, that we promise each other. And I have also tried, like when opening new circles, I have also tried everyone saying agree or yes. It's quite powerful when women like also either by nodding with their head or just speaking out loud, say that they agree to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. This is 100% valid, either if you have a circle of women who know each other, or if you have a circle that has new participants, because maybe you have a big mailing list, and then, you know, every time you have different kind of a variety of women. It's important in both of those cases. If you have women who know each other, maybe they are not best of friends, but they know each other. And then while a circle is happening, there is a lot of sharing about personal things. This has to be the foundation, that is not gonna go out of the circle. Because many times the sharing in the circle can be very powerful and very personal. And it's something that you would not normally share while having a coffee or drinks meetings or night out. Well, maybe when you're very drunk, but then, you know, no one will remember if they are very drunk. But I have noticed several times at my circle that the things that are being shared would not be shared with the same women sitting and just sipping coffee or you know, having a social gathering. The circle is that kind of magical and sacred where you feel safe to start revealing those things. And I always underline this rule when I start the circle. And I remember when I had a triangle in June, there was our neighbor here coming in for the first time, and there was another participant. And I even said, because it was such an intimate circle, and I even said, like, whatever we talk about here, where we meet outside in different circumstances, in different social kind of a configuration, when there is an extra person, we don't talk. Because sometimes you might feel like, okay, we talked about this, so you continue the conversation, someone can overhear. So I really put, because I think when people know each other, it could be difficult to somehow like, oh my God, was it in a circle? Was it outside of the circle? So this is very important. And of course, if you have a newcomers, for them to feel safe, they need to be assured that if they will share something, this is not going to be the talk of a town, you know, or like that person that came and you start to talk about this. And I really stick to this because, for example, I share quite a lot with with my husband, who is also my very good friend, never talk about Circle. Never. He asks how it was. It was great. It went fine. Never reveal anything. And sometimes there are things that are mentioned in the Circle that I kind of feel like I would like to talk with someone. Then I talk with a person that was on a Circle, like, for example, with Marta. We talked, we reflected on the Circle we had the last time, because it is extremely important to keep that secrecy. Otherwise, the whole thing, in my opinion, will fall apart sooner or later. So those were my 3 cents, or maybe $50, however you look at the time that I spent explaining that.
Yeah, I think you did very, very well and took a lot of different scenarios into account. Mm-hmm. I think there is, because of course, in a circle, you can talk about, for example, Anna's circles are about astrology. And with Anna shares, for example, the goddess power, or the unshaming the goddess. Of course, it's okay to take the content that is universal and talk about it, right? It is about the sharings of people. And I would just mention one thing which you touched upon, Anna, if there is someone having a vulnerable sharing and it often touches your heart, and then you meet that person outside of the circle, please respect that this person might not want to talk about it outside of the circle. Don't ask about it. If the person wants to talk about it themselves, then it's okay. You can always, of course, ask, you know, would you be open to talking mm-hmm. a little bit more about what you shared? That, of course, could be okay. That's because you are the only two people, and that person is always free to say, no, thank you, I would not like to. But don't just, you know, don't just probe about that kind of vulnerable sharings or comment on them. But we will talk a little bit about commenting and stuff in the next principles. And I wanted to say...
I will just mention, this is actually very good what you mentioned right now, because again, it can be a bit blurry sometimes because of the way our brain works. If you know someone quite well, or just, you know, someone and come across from a circle in a real life and there was a vulnerable sharing, it could be natural that you want to, so how are you? You know, you, it could be natural that you want to continue or whatever, but it's very good point that you said, you know, that you just don't touch upon it unless the person is open, or you can ask if the person feels, you know, open enough to continue that discussion, not just badge in with. So the last time you said, and you are, I don't know, on a street or in a cafe. Thank you, Marta, for underlining that.
Yes. And I wanted to say that the principles, they overlap a little bit or build on each other. So sometimes you will hear, oh, how does it actually differ, you know, one from the other, but they are building on each other. So the next principle that we have, I have named it, all of you is welcome. So what I meant with that principle, because Anna made a draft and then I put my hands on it and I have redone it. So you are having it live. I'm not sure if Anna even read it, what I have redone, or if she's...
We have a little Frankenstein here. Okay, let's... Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So it might be that Anna then takes a third run over them and then might look quite different next time you look at the website. However, it's for inspiration, right? So The second principle right now is all of you is welcome. And what we mean here is that this is really the space where you can drop all your masks and simply be yourself. And this is really, really the principle of respect, that we respect ourselves and each other, and that we welcome emotions. And this is the principle that I also almost always mention in the circles, because I say, you are so welcome to cry, to laugh, and even anger is welcome as an expression of your own emotion, as long as you do no harm to others. So if an anger comes up, it's not okay to scream at someone else. You know, you might need to scream and it might even trigger others. We will touch upon later. However, Emotions are welcome, yet not expressing them by attacking others. You know, that is very, very important. And the respect is also extended to listening attentively and not giving unsolicited advice. So the circles are based on a very, very respected ancient way, sometimes referred to as talking circle, where people sit down in a circle and one person is speaking at the time. That's why often something like a talking stick or a different tool that you can pass around can be used, because it's very important. It's a space of listening to each other. It's not a space where someone shares so that you can respond to it. It's a space for when someone shares, for you to deeply listen to what is being shared.
Absolutely. And I actually implemented the talking crystal for the first. I have a talking obelisk crystal that got broken, which I will not take as a bad sign. And then I think I took the crystal for the other circle, and I think it kind of worked well. I love the fact that we mentioned that you can be you and you can drop all the masks. Marta mentioned expressing different types of emotion. Actually, crying happens quite often in a circle, and usually by women who say, "I never cry." So that's a beautiful thing. That doesn't mean it's a requirement. Like, you have to cry at least one time in three circles. Not at all, but that's what is welcome. But even taking a nap during meditation is also welcome. I know I've heard of some women who are using a circle mainly as a getaway from their very hectic household, when they just want to be in a safe space surrounded by women who are not judgmental. And it can happen. I think I almost dozed off on one of the Aarhus circles, not because they were boring, but because there was such a wonderful, relaxing meditation that took me to places and I almost fell asleep. And that's also all right, because some women come there to recharge. And even if recharging means that you will take an accidental nap, do it. So that's what I also wanted to add, that it's not only the emotions, it can also be your need to rest and recharge. And I think also the giving unsolicited advice is a very, very important point here, because as Marta mentioned, we are always ready to respond when someone talks or to give an advice, because we genuinely usually want to help. But here it's more of someone shares, and then if there is a follow-up question, would you like to advise me, then yes, and if not, it's just silence. And it's usually thank you for sharing, that's all. And I love that. Marta got,
and here, yeah, I tried something went wrong on my side. Yeah, something went wrong on my side. And here I would like to mention, because indeed sleeping happens, or taking a nap. Mm-hmm. And this is where, okay, it's very welcome to sleep, but if you start snoring, you might be disturbing others. So maybe that could be a place where a facilitator could, could be a little gentle, that it's okay to sleep, but if it is obviously disturbing the rest in their mm-hmm. meditation state, that could be then handled by the facilitator. Just to give from respect to yourself versus others. Yeah.
Yes, of course, that snoring is usually done probably unconsciously. And maybe we should make an episode about, how to manage a more complicated situations at the circles.
Yeah, that we definitely will need.
And snoring would be like the light version of the challenge, because, but very, very good point here, because some of us snore.
Yeah, and if it's like this gentle, saying, you know, like a gentle little sweet snore, it's different than someone going fully off like an old dude after five
yeah,
beers.
We are talking about trumpets of the judgment day type of snoring. Yeah,
yes.
That is not going to work.
Mm-mm. Okay, so the third principle is very closely related to the one we just talked about. And this is the one that is formulated by you, Anna. So I will let you introduce your pace is sacred.
Yes, your pace is sacred is probably next to the what happens in circle stays in circle, probably the closest to my heart. This is actually the principle that convinced me to continue joining the Aarhus Circle. And this is a principle that allowed me to become less skeptical about circles and actually open a chapter of a circle. This means that you participate at the level that is suitable for you. You participate at the level that you are ready to actually participate on, which means that if there are certain things happening within a circle, which, for example, as you know already, sharing session, it's okay to say, I have nothing to share. If you have a speaking stick or crystal, you just don't pick it up. And that's okay. You don't need to. It's not like now we have obligatory 2 minutes of sharing. That's not the case. It goes for everything in the circle. It goes for meditation. If you cannot focus or you don't feel this is your thing, you can just lay down. If there is a ritual, and we actually had that on the first circle here in Randboldale, that one person decided not to take a part in ritual. That was totally fine. That was actually great because we were talking about setting your own boundaries and being courageous enough and like self-independent to say no to certain situations. And she was just like a living example of how to do it. And there was no strangeness or weirdness, which I will say in contrast is it's in contrast to, for example, what I experience in at the workplace when you do any type of even a team building that is supposed to be a light version of workshop. And then, you know, everyone has to in 2 minutes do this. And then everyone, the ones I hate the most is something with dancing and clapping. Like, and now everyone in a team has to do wiggle. And I'm like, oh my freaking God. And I was afraid before I joined the circle, or I was skeptical about this before I joined the first Aarhus circle, that there is, you know, certain kind of like points in the agenda of the gathering that I will have to fulfill. And what if I don't feel like, what if I don't feel like sharing? What if I don't feel like doing yoga, for example? And that was so important for me. So your pace is sacred, meaning you do everything in your own pace. You don't force yourself to participate. You are just there. You are being authentic. You are being present, and you consciously decide where you want to put that energy in. And if it means that you are for 2.5 hours just listening and basically being present, that's also fine. This is not a place that someone will judge you for it or force you into anything. So I love that. It's very close to my heart. And I think another one is because I do the adjacent explanation that participating in one gathering doesn't oblige you to continue with the following ones. So, and that was added to that principle, your pace is sacred, because I had women asking, so is this something that we will have to do every single time? Like, what if I don't have time in I don't know, March. I participated in February, but in March I cannot do it, or in April I get sick. So that was actually a very important thing to mention, that one participation in a circle does not oblige you to come into the next one. And there are women who participated in a one or two circles, then they have a break because they have other obligations. That's why the mailing lists for both of the circles now are actually quite significant, but we just know that it will never happen that everyone will be available and want to join. So it's also that kind of an open space that you come when you're ready and you come when you want to come. And this is not like you signed up for 12 circles and now you have to come.
Yeah, thank you, Anna, for introducing that principle. I really do think it's a great one. And because many women may still have a challenge with actually saying no, it's a great space to practice that, what actually feels right to me and what doesn't feel right to me. And you could even go that far to say in which way it could be okay to say no, because some women find it easy to say, sorry, that's not for me. And some women might find it very, very hard. We all know the good girl syndrome, mm-hmm. right? And where you just want to please others. That's unfortunately something we still struggle with in many occasions. So it could be, you know, you can simply say rain check. If there is a sharing and that's not a time for you to share, that it's mm-hmm. okay to say, you know, rain check. So you can introduce that easy way for women to skip in case they don't want to participate in something. And also by addressing it, you make it much easier yeah. for someone to actually speak up about it, because it might be quite challenging for some of us. You know, we need social acceptance. We have a good girl syndrome. We struggle with pleasing others. So there is quite something to deal with sometimes.
It's quite a lot, if I'm to be honest, now when you are pointing all of those things. Absolutely. And I think you were actually doing that. You were saying about the rain check. And for sharing sessions, I think that talking crystal is going to stay definitely, because what I have implemented on the last circle is, I think I said, so this is a talking crystal. If you feel like sharing, you pick it up. If for 10 seconds no one picks it up, we assume the sharing is over, and then we move on to the next part of the gathering. And yeah, I was sitting a bit like, you know, counting in my head, 1, 2, 3, and then at 8 or 9, someone picks up the I was like, okay, and then again. But I think it works smoothly, because I remember before the first or second, I think it was the first circle, you know, everyone was sharing, and then, you know, you even unconsciously start to like look at the people who didn't share yet, because you are like, you want to like ask them without asking, do you want to? But maybe they feel like you are like, hey, it's your turn, why you are not talking? Yeah.
So
I really like that.
Yeah. And it could be that maybe a little more time with could the, be a good idea time. Because maybe people need a moment to process after someone has stopped sharing. So maybe 10 seconds can be very little if mm-hmm. you need to come out of the space where you were mm-hmm. deeply listening, to actually feel into yourself sure. and to decide whether you want to share or not. So you mm-hmm. might consider if 10 seconds is good, mm-hmm. it has its pros, you know, then people are more compelled to, you know, go for it after those 8-9 seconds. Or you could feel into if it's appropriate to give a little bit more time for the shift of energy between yeah. deeply listening to sharing. And I would say talking crystal stick or whatever you want is a great approach. If you have bigger groups and different ways, just feeling into what works well for you could be a popcorn style, which could be that the first person that is ready to share starts sharing, and then, you know, the next person that is ready, or it could be that the person that is the first starts sharing, then mm-hmm. appoints the next person, and then the next person can say, you know, rain check or whatever, find the next person. That could be a good idea for bigger circles. where you do need to take care of timing. So for example, if you have 20 women and you are all the time waiting if someone will or will not speak, this kind of like popping, you know, now I speak, okay, maybe I appoint Rachel, and then Rachel is like rain check, I appoint Anna, and Anna is sharing. So there are these different tools which you can experiment with and see how does it work for you in your space.
Yeah, it just also came to my mind because the talking crystal was in the middle, so everyone had to reach out. But you can also, now I'm thinking, you can also just start like as a facilitator. If you want to, you can pick it up and then you can pass it, and a person that has it and doesn't want to share holds it for a bit or just for a moment and pass it to another person. So that could be without, you know, speaking, passing the stone, and whoever wants to talk keeps the crystal, the stone, the stick, and speaks, and the person who
Yeah, that sounds really nice. Yeah, that sounds really, really nice. But it's all, you know, every circle is unique. And one time you can try this way, another time you can try another way. So it's a great area for exploration. So the next principle that I wanted to introduce, and I'm skipping a little bit an order here, Anna, because I think it makes more sense to introduce this one first. It's called keep that heart and mind of yours wide open. So as I see it, you know, as I feel it, the clear intention of the circle is to lift each other up and create that loving space where consciousness can expand. So for me, this relates to the actual purpose, the reason behind why we hold circles. So I find it very, very important that we stay both in our hearts and keep them open, as well as we keep our minds open. Because in a circle, there will be different people and different things can happen. And we want to make sure that that space is inclusive. So we want to make sure that women of all ages, nationalities, cultural backgrounds, as well as perhaps a thought, you know, there can be someone, if we talk about a circle where we are having consciousness or spirituality as a background, there can be people that have some beliefs that are quite out there. They can be really, really, really different from your belief system. So it's extremely important to remember to have your mind open. And just because someone believes something and shares it here, it has nothing to do with what you have to believe. And I think that this is so, so deeply important for me and for the way I see the world, that we have such an extremely hard, harsh and divisive environment, and you have to believe in the same thing or we cannot be friends. And this is extremely divisive. So we take it personally as humans. Mm-hmm. If someone believes something we do not believe in, we take it personally, and or our need for, you know, validation. So someone should believe what I believe for us to feel good and safe together. And I think that this is exactly that point where we are at in the world. It is so okay to believe something completely different and still be with your heart open and your mind open in the same space and feel safe. And this is very, very important for the circle from my perspective and for the world right now.
Absolutely. It could be like it is a training ground to actually get comfortable or start to build that kind of comfort around people who might think or believe in a completely different things, which should be okay, unless, you know, your beliefs call for killing people or something, you know. But I think it is extremely important to train that muscle of tolerance and inclusiveness. And yeah, There are women with very different backgrounds coming to the circles, from, you know, women who go to church every week, to women who are into pagan beliefs, to women who are not practicing any organized religion, but maybe are doing some kind of, you know, have some spiritual beliefs, or women who are connecting with, I don't know, some angels, or like, we've seen it all. And it's totally fine. Or women who are very down to earth, actually super down to earth, practical, not really, you know, and also even feeling maybe that, okay, this is a bit woo, but they are still there and they feel welcomed, because that's the whole thing. You open the gate for everyone to come in and not to be judged, and not to have this kind of like, this is not a place to argue who has the right belief. Like, and probably one of the principles at the beginning, you know, attentive listening, no unsolicited advice. You can just hear. And maybe when you have that focus shifted from, okay, I'm going into the discussion mode, and after this person says something, I will reply this. When, once you take that out of the table, you actually are left with listening. And that's probably the key to that feeling of, okay, it's all right to say things and I don't need to take it personally. No one is, you know, trying to destroy my values or beliefs. That's not this. Okay.
So we always try to suspect loving intention.
We are sitting
and together. We, as we mentioned already in the previous principles, it's a space where we mean no harm. So we definitely are based on the loving principle and the loving intention, yet our ego, you know, can come at play. So this is what we mean here. Keep on opening your heart so that you can stay in love,
yeah,
as well as opening your mind so that you can be simply open to other people and their beliefs, and that people can have it differently than you have it, and you can still share the same space. And this is very, very important for me to couple with the next principle, which is called own your shadow, own your light. So when I was reflecting on this principle, I was reflecting exactly on that. So someone has some beliefs that are quite out there, and someone can share something that is very, very difficult. So triggers can happen. So when you are in a circle, and especially when the circle evolves and you are going deeper and deeper, triggers can happen. And with this principle, I wanted to introduce the concept of full personal responsibility. So we always encourage people to take full responsibility for what you think, what you feel, and how you behave. So I would always encourage participants, if there is a trigger, you take care of yourself first. So you take care how the trigger falls with you. So you take care of that trigger within yourself. However, this is also very important to be able to address dysfunctions in the circle. So this is that special episode that we want to have at some point, because mm-hmm. there are, so if you have a trigger, if something happens, yeah, if someone says something, because you know, this, what is yours versus passive aggressive versus microaggressions, there can be such a subtle, very, mm-hmm. very subtle line. And sometimes when you take things personally, you might read the line very differently compared to what was the message that was sent by the other person. However, it is important you take responsibility for yourself, and mm-hmm. that you trust your facilitator. So if this is something that does not get resolved by you taking responsibility, you do go to your facilitator and you do address it with them. Because I have been in a space where the circle went wrong, and where there was actually a person that was very deeply mentally ill. Mm-hmm. And we could not notice that at the beginning, it only evolved in time, mm-hmm. and the whole circle almost fell apart because everyone mm-hmm. was taking the trigger personal, you know, everyone was like, oh, it's me, you know, I have to take care of my feelings and thoughts mm-hmm. and behavior. And apparently, you know, this is not a space for me. I have to step out. Mm-hmm. And it was only because someone came to me and said that they felt the same way, mm-hmm. that we could actually address it. And when we started addressing it, we found out everyone felt the same way, apart from this one person that we found out was simply ill. It was not meant in a bad way. It was not a perpetrator. It was a person that was very, very ill, and we needed mm-hmm. to take care of that. So that's why it's so important. Yes, take personal responsibility for how you feel. And also, please, if you are thinking about there is something wrong or dysfunctional or unhealthy that would make you step away from the circle, take it with the facilitator first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a very good example. Especially if you have people that are very self-aware and are aware of the triggers and all this kind of theory behind that, which we discussed a little bit in our other podcast, Weaving Web of Consciousness, in episode 5, I believe. So, you know, just check it out. But I think, if you have all the people on a certain level and everyone thinks this is my trigger, I need to step down. When you have an obvious, you know, problem, challenge with one of the persons, and it's I think that that communication with the facilitator, just to make sure that you are not putting too much on yourself. It actually might not be you.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And as I said, especially in circles that evolve over time, that it's important to address dysfunctionalities. And also, as this practice space, we do need to address difficult topics. That's actually, when we talk about psychological safety, also in work environment and so on, mm-hmm. we are psychologically safe when we can speak about difficulties openly, with respect. You know, we can address it without necessarily Absolutely. Playing the blame game and stuff. So for me, that's so important, to have that space where the difficulties can be addressed. So that is that principle about. And then Absolutely. We have mm-hmm. co-create the sacred space. That's the next principle. And we are coming now back to more down to earth, or actually partially down to earth, partially. So partially down to earth means mm-hmm. that everyone is welcome to contribute with ideas as we are in a circle. Sometimes a facilitator may have prepared an agenda, and then a participant notices that there is something in the space that it would be more beneficial to actually change the direction a little bit. And that participant, when they voice it out, very often we have seen it in a circle, it goes deeper. Mm-hmm. It goes in a different direction, but it goes in a really, really good direction. So if we mm-hmm. take it under consideration, now going a little bit more to the energetical space, we co-create that space. We are equal in that space. We all contribute energetically, even if we are there completely silent. We really contribute energetically. So take that, you know, take that responsibility, if I can call it this way. And responsibility, for me, it's ability to respond. So you are creating that space. You are co-creating that space, which means maybe reflect a little bit on what sort of energy you are bringing into the space. That could be one consideration. And then the second consideration, if you are getting an intuition mm-hmm. that, you know, it could be beneficial for the circle to go in a different direction, please raise your hand, you know, speak up about it. And then simply just ideas, what we could do next, what would be great, how could we improve the circle, you know, take that knowledge, knowing that you are co-creating that space anyway, and feel welcome to contribute.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I even had that, I had that experience already after my first circle here in Rumbledale, when one of the participants came to me privately after the circle and said that she talked with another participant that was on the circle, and they just had a small suggestion, maybe we could have more space for sharing. And I was like, thank God that you said something, because, you know, it's like, especially when you create the first one, I was talking quite a lot. I agree with that. And we had the ritual and we had the exercise. So it was kind of, fully packed. Probably some of the, one of the reason was that I was anxious on behalf of the participants. What if no one will want to talk? So I have to have something to fill the space with. And it has to be this. My energy was a bit nervous at the first circle. And I was like, yeah, of course, we co-created. And it was also funny to see that they thought like I'm some sort of like a leader and you have to apply for something, not apply, but you know what I mean. And I was like, no, just bring everything in and we are going to change it together. So then there was a more
facilitator perspective joined together. Listen to your circle. That would be, very, very clear. So listen to your circle, read the room, see where the energy is going. And even if you have had an idea and like a really clear vision and you thought this will be a wonderful way, listen to your circle. Every single circle is unique. Even if the same people come, every single time we bring a certain energy to the circle. So it's important to listen to the circle. And even though something worked last time perfectly, it might be the best thing to change it in this circle. All right, we are approaching the last two principles, so hopefully we can go through them quicker. The first one of the first of the two last ones. So the seventh one is clear energy. Yeah, that was very mathematical. Yes, I know.
Let's make it more complicated for people to follow. Okay.
Yeah, that is very often my mathematical logic that just defies all logics. Yes. Anyway, clear energy exchange. Anna, you had it first called as we are doing it non-profit. And I expanded it a little bit to clear energy exchange, just to include that part that I feel that it's extremely important that the circle builds on the principle of reciprocity, so that there is a two-way energy flow of giving and receiving. So what that means from a facilitator perspective, when you are thinking about the pricing of the circle, it could be that for you, the right thing is to only take that minimum amount of money that you will pay for the space, for the snacks, and so on. And that is that part that for you, it feels right to be non-profit, that you do not need any extra energy exchange, and money is energy exchange. However, for some women, it might be actually necessary because maybe you don't have enough money in your life and maybe you are creating those circles. So I wanted to expand it because for us right now, it feels very good and we have the principle of reciprocity and we feel that the energy of giving and receiving is flowing in equal measures when we are doing it in a non-profit way. However, as a principle for women, to feel into it, think about if you actually have some energetical lack and you actually, and the right thing for you to would be to have a little bit of a higher price so that there is also some energetical compensation, because money is not a bad thing. I also want to make sure that, it might be the right thing for you that you are taking payment. For the circle. It might be the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen actually, when I made a research about the circles in Denmark, I've seen circles that are charging for the participation. And it's, I think it's completely fine because, you have to set it up from the get-go. We decided to go for the, let's cover the expenses approach. Maybe also, well, there are reasons I can ask you why, Marta, but, for me, it wasn't the priority to get money, to get that form of energy. For me, the priority was to build a community here, to open the second chapter, and also to, I don't know, maybe it also had something to do with a more ego things, I would be thinking like I would never charge for that. I'm still learning, not feeling like a pro. But yeah, it didn't even cross my mind to ask for payments for that specific setup. Although I know that there are other ideas we have for the future within Women's Circle Institute that we would definitely ask for that kind of energy exchange in form of money. But for the circle, it was for us, I think, just quite a straightforward choice that this is a non-profit thing. But it's good that you included that because I think it's important. There might be women who are running circles for living.
Yeah, and I also think depending how many circles you are running at the same time. So I started to see that energy lack at some point when I was running several circles at the same time because I was doing also some at work. And I just find it important that you have to, as a facilitator, you have to feel into yourself what is the right thing for you to do. It could be that the money thing just ruins it for you because then your expectations build and, your income depends on it. And it might ruin it for you if you put that part or ruin it partially, or may trigger you for healing, whatever you call it. Ruin it, trigger for healing could sometimes be also a very subtle line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I can hear that now.
Sometimes it's a choice.
Ruining or triggering for healing.
Yeah. But that's why it's important for it to be aligned with your current level of consciousness. That's what I wanted to, and make it clear. Make it a clear energy exchange. That's what I wanted to, that's what I wanted to include here. And then the last principle is first come, first served. And this is exactly how you framed it, Anna. So maybe you want to introduce that one.
Yeah, so as you could hear probably in the episode 2, we were discussing the limits of the participation on the circle. So, what is our minimum requirement for the number of participants to create a circle? In my case, it's a triangle together with a facilitator. And what is the upper limit? And that, of course, it's again individual thing. We have, I believe, Marta, we both have the same approach that it should, it is space related. That, how many people can you comfortably fit into the location that you have? And I think you have an experience with a bigger circles. I don't. So my personal limit was set at 12 together with facilitators. However, on my mailing list at the moment, I think I have 26 or 7 different women. And that means that if one time in a blue moon situation happens where all of those women will want to participate in a specific gathering, only the first 12 ones, that actually 11 with me as a facilitator, the first 11 ones are going to secure their places, and then we will have to put the rest of the women either on waiting list or basically, we are very sorry, but we are full this month. It sounds a bit businessy when I say it, but I think it's a very important practical principle to introduce women to. because and it also comes with a kind of like underlying thing that if you have booked your spot and you know you are not able to join, please inform us ASAP so we can offer your spot to someone else. For the time being, I never had a problem with reaching the top limit that I have set up for my circle, but it could happen. I'm not saying
yes. We were in that situation, and we simply we took the physical space because we also have yoga, and it is kind of important that you can move around if you are doing yoga. So that was a very physical space related limit. However, it is also important that you are aware of your energetical space. For how many women can you actually hold space? The holding space part is very important. Don't put yourself for a, 30, 40 women's circle if you feel stressed about it. It's not worth it. And maybe for you, the right amount for now is 4. Maybe it's 10. So feel into it, and you can always expand and open to it later. So thank you so much for going through those guiding principles with me today, Anna, partially by surprise, as I have redone some of them quite a lot, and some of them not at all,
partially,
and some of them a little. So there is a good mix. I hope this was a good inspiration. Jesus, what is this with words with inspiration? Inspiration for facilitators, as well as maybe deeper understanding for the participants on what are the principles about, what are their purpose, what is the reason behind having them. And and also if you are a participant and you are missing something and you think something should be added there, please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if you are a facilitator, share your principles with us. Maybe we have a different ones, and that's also okay. You can always get in touch with us through our website, womenscircleinstitute.com. Website is for free. You don't have to pay to get an access to it. It's on internet. And then you can see on the main page in the menu podcast, and then you can find this podcast and just... you will be guided how to contact us. It's the email sent, and you can find all the episodes that we have recorded so far for Women's Circle, also for Weaving Web of Consciousness, because we have another one. So feel free to visit womenscircleinstitute.com and browse through our 8 principles.
They are quite all right, and also still ready for evolving. So thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day. Bye.
Thank you very much, and we will talk to you next time. Bye bye.